to a brand new book, 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look through 2 Thessalonians for the next
step by step, beginning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians. One day, a little less than 2,000 years ago, for the very first time ever, the Apostle Paul stepped into a city called Thessalonica. It's still there today. It's in northern Greece. If you're a geography buff, you know that the Aegean Sea separates Turkey and Greece. And that Aegean Sea scoops up to the north. And then right along the northern edge of the Aegean Sea, there are some cities. There's one called Philippi. There's one called Berea. Keep on coming down a little bit further to the south in Greece, and you come to Thessalonica. It's the biggest city in Greece now, I think, outside of Athens, perhaps. A very large city. I'd kind of like to go there and see it. I never have. Paul stepped into that city one day, serving God. He knew he was supposed to be there because God had sent him to Macedonia. He did not know what was about to happen, but it was a very good thing. Because when Paul left Thessalonica, he left something behind. Something precious, something that only God could do. And what I'm talking about is a church. Paul went there not knowing what God would do, but knowing what God had done. The steps that he took as he walked into Thessalonica were important steps, but there were some more important steps before that. This is applicable to you and I because we're going to like what we see in 2 Thessalonians, in some ways at least. It's an encouraging book. It's a book about victory. It's a book about Paul's success in planting a church there. But that success was made possible by steps Paul had taken before he got there. Now, I think you believe this, but maybe we don't believe it quite enough. The steps that we're taking in our life today are going to affect the steps that we'll be able to take tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. The average person I read, depending upon how active they are, if you live to be 80, you're going to take about 200 million steps in life. Some of them probably don't make any difference, but some of them do. When you walked into these church doors today, that makes a difference. The day that someone took the steps to walk to you and give you the gospel, that made a difference. The steps that you take, the Bible says that the feet of people that bear the gospel are beautiful. I know a man that was a pastor and his dad was a missionary. He was going to visit New Guinea. And he was a high school student at the time. And he was wearing tennis shoes, and they were walking and walking and walking and walking, and his feet were sweating. And he came to a village, and his dad preached the gospel. And the women literally rushed up and kissed the feet of the missionaries. I wouldn't like that, but anyway. And because they knew that the Bible said that the feet of people that preach the gospel are beautiful. We'll talk about some steps today, and let's begin by reading part of this book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would please. I'd like to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and we'll have a word of prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, Paul and Silvanus, I got to get that name in because it's important here in a minute. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity that you've given us to come to this place and to be able to sit for a moment and listen to the word of God. And I pray, God, somehow that you'd just do a miracle in our hearts to help us to see not just what happened in Paul's experience in Thessalonica, but help us to understand how it applies to our lives as well, that there will be things happening in our life in the future because of what we're doing today. And I pray that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your finger in Thessalonians and turn back with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We live in a pretty easy day, I think. There is some persecution now and then, especially if you decide to go tell folks about the gospel by going door to door. You're probably going to have some resistance there. But in my entire life, I've never had a group of people follow me from one city to the next because they were disgusted that I was telling people about Jesus. Paul did. In your entire life, have you ever been thrown in jail because you preached the gospel? Nobody that I know has. In your entire life, have you ever been beaten because of the gospel? Have you ever had your feet placed in stocks? Have you ever seen God open a jailhouse, every door? Well, you never have been in a jail to see that, have we? I was in jail once to witness to a guy. They let me out. I've been in prison to teach the Bible. They let me out of there too. I wouldn't want to be there to stay. Just like you and I, Paul had taken steps that brought him to that place called Thessalonica. And they were important steps. Now you understand this. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I do not pretend that it's under our control, but we sure have influence over where we go, don't we? And we have influence over what we do. You're going to make decisions today and tomorrow and the next day. You made a decision this morning. Thank you. Praise the Lord you came to church. And tonight, praise the Lord, you can come back to church at 6 o'clock, and we're going to see important things in the Bible again tonight. And you're going to take steps and steps and steps. And aren't you glad to know that that last step you're going to take is going to be a step into eternity to be with Jesus forever and ever? I don't know what steps you'll take between now and then. God does. I don't know what steps you've taken up until now out of that 200 million or so steps you'll take in your lifetime. I don't know what you've done in the past, but where you've been affects where you're going to be today and where you're going to be in the future. We got to be careful. Now, I want to show you some things, and the nice thing about the Bible is that in the New Testament, the book of Acts tells us the story of the churches that Paul is writing to, and in Acts chapter 17, there's the story of Thessalonica. And again, I'm just, for some reason, it's very real to me to think of that day when Paul walked into that city for the very first time. But where had he come from? What had he experienced before? What had God allowed in his life up to that point that enabled him to do the work that needed to be done in Thessalonica, leading up to this letter that he wrote that we're studying today. Go back to Acts chapter 17, and I'll show you what I mean. In Acts chapter 17 in verse 1, it says, they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and those are two of those cities that are up there in the northern tip of the Aegean Sea between Greece and Turkey. They went through those two cities, and they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, in verse 2, in Acts chapter 17, in verse 2, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. As his manner was. Paul had a way of doing things. Paul went to church. All the time. Now, I know it says synagogue, and it was, and it would have been on a Saturday. But my point is, he had a routine, something that he did. And when he came to a new city, he went to the synagogue. And why was he there? To tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell the very same people that had hounded him and pursued him up to this day. Now, we have a very convenient thing. As we see, Acts chapter 17 shows us about Thessalonica. I have to ask the question, I wonder what happened before that. Let's go back one chapter to Acts chapter 16 and see what happened. Now, this is kind of exciting. And I'm trying not to let the cat out of the bag too quick, but I got to tell you at least one thing right now. There will be times in your life that are not going to be pleasant. There are going to be times in your life that are going to be just flat out difficult, painful, hard, trying. There will be tribulation. There will be persecution. There will be heartache. Aren't you glad that's not what life's all about? If you don't give up, there will also be times of great victory. And don't you think God knows, or you can be sure he knows, how to give you victory to keep you going? If it was just defeat and heartache and tribulation, none of us would make it. So, Acts chapter 16 is a fascinating chapter. And you begin in verse 1, that they came to Derbe and Lystra. They're over in Turkey, and they're in the middle of Turkey, and they're coming across. If you like to study the life of Paul, it's his second missionary journey, and he's had a fight to start this missionary journey with Barnabas because Barnabas wanted to take Mark, John Mark, and Paul said, that rascal quit us in our first journey. I'm not taking him on another one. But Barnabas was related to the young man, and so the argument was fierce enough that Barnabas said, fine, you go your way, I'll go mine. And the interesting thing about that is, now we got two missionary teams, amen? You say, well, it's sad they had an argument. I think God had a purpose in all that. Oh, and just as a footnote, at the end of the story, later on in Paul's life, he writes a letter, and he says, John Mark's a blessing. So things got fixed up there. So you can read about that later on. But in verse 1 of chapter 16, there was a disciple there named, wow, look at this, Timotheus. Ever heard of him? Wow. Of all the people that Paul talks about in the Bible, Timothy is as good as he gets. Timothy, he wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy to him. He called Timothy his son in the faith. There was a bond between them. There was a trust. He said, at one point in time, he says, I have no man like-minded to care for a particular church except Timothy. Timothy was the one that was unique. This is where he met him. That's victory. Amen? He may not have known it then. Sometimes you take steps in your life that are going to cause huge things in the future that are victories, huge victories in the future, and you didn't even know it. Little things. That's why it's important to do the right thing. Amen? So he meets Timothy here in chapter 16. You think, wow, what a victory. That's great. And it is. Let's keep going. He talks about Timothy for a while. And now in verse 6, so you're in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, they went through Phrygia, that's a region, and Galatia, that's another region. They wanted to go to Asia. They wanted to keep going west into this place that he's, Thessalonica in that area, but the Holy Ghost forbade them. But then, in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul, and he said, there stood a man in Macedonia and said, come over and help us. And so there you go. In verse 11, they loose from Troas, and in verse 12, they come to Philippi, a chief city of that part of Macedonia. Now, you stay with me. Don't get ahead of me here. The Holy Spirit guided his steps. Amen? The Holy Spirit said, now it's time to go to Macedonia. I wasn't going to let you go there before, but now it's time. Do you know God's willing to guide your steps? You need to seek that guidance and not make your own call. For example, I think God would guide anybody that would let him, he would guide them to be in church today, to be talking to folks about him this week, to be in church tonight and on Wednesday night, and to go visit and do the work of the Lord. And he'll guide your steps if you'll let him. And so he comes to Philippi. Some of you know what's about to happen, if you remember. It was a wonderful time in Philippi, right? All cake and roses. No. He casts a demon out of a girl that was able to tell the future because of the demon. That's interesting. And the guys that were making money off of that deal got mad and threw a fit, and he wound up in prison. Some of the steps that you and I take in our life, now remember, we're trying to get to Thessalonica, but some of the steps we take in our life, you're going to say, I was doing what was right. Why am I suffering? I'm doing what was right. Why is it so hard? Why is it so painful? God's got a path. And we need to stay on that path so we can get to Thessalonica and see the great work there. So look what happens in Philippi. In first of all, in verse 14, they meet this woman named Lydia. She gets baptized in verse 15. Wow, great victory. Things are off to a good start. Then in verse 16 of Acts chapter 16, they find that girl that's possessed with the devil. They cast the devil out. In verse 19, her masters see that the hope of their gains was gone, and they threw him in prison, and they brought him to the magistrates, and they complained about him. And in verse 22, the magistrates rent off their clothes and had him beaten. And when they had, and look at this word, laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Paul's on his way to Thessalonica. He might not quite know that yet, but this is a very low place. He saw victory. He met Timothy. He baptized Lydia. Now he's in prison. Some of the steps we have to take. There's an important aspect to this. I'll tell you what it is later on in the message, but just remember this. God's got a purpose. And you're going to see the immediate purpose right away. And I won't read the whole story to you, but if you keep on coming down in Acts chapter 16, in verse 26, there was an earthquake. The doors are opened. The bands were loosed. The prisoners are all set free. In verse 27, the keeper of the prison wakes out of sleep. In verse 28, Paul tells him, don't hurt yourself. We're all here, because he would have killed himself not having fulfilled the responsibility to keep the prisoners safe. And in verse 29, he called for a light. And look at verse 30, the best example in the entire Bible of this question. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you see what happened there? Taking those steps that God told Paul to take, Paul winds up in prison. He winds up beaten. He winds up in stocks. And then, just like that, everything changes. How many times in your life has someone walked up to you and said, please tell me how to get saved? It happened to me a couple of times. The one time I remember, I may have told some of you this story, and I'll be brief about it, but we were going on visitation in Utah, and this man came out to go on visitation for the very first time. And I thought to myself, I really hope we have a good night so he can see that visitation is a blessing, because sometimes when you go visiting, you don't see any results. And so the fellow went with me, and we drove over to this house, and this girl was there, and she had some, she was invalid. If I recall correctly, she was blind, but I can't remember for sure. At any rate, I know that she had trouble with something, and when we walked in the door, we knocked on the door, and they said, come on in, and we walked in the door, and she said, I have been looking for the truth. And she said, the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. I know they don't have the truth. The Mormons came to my house. I know they don't have the truth. Do you have the truth? We have the truth? If you've got the Bible, you've got the truth. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Bible says that itself, it's true. And it says Jesus is true. We have the truth. And she wanted to hear it. Don't you hope that happens this week, Mr. Hill? Amen? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer says. And in verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen? Amen. They didn't say, well, let's go baptize you. They didn't say, oh, you got to join this church over here and be real good. They didn't say, well, if you have the Lord's Supper, then you can be saved. They said, believe. Have you believed? Doesn't get any simpler than that. So, for the sake of time, after this fellow gets saved, they let Paul out of jail. And they said, oh, have a good night, or good day. And Paul said, no, wait a minute. I'm a Roman citizen, and you beat me without condemning me. We're going to talk. And read the rest of this story after church, and you can see how much fun that is. But off he went, and now he's on his way, and now we come to chapter 17, and he shows up in Thessalonica. Now, why does all that matter? The steps that you take in your life, listen carefully, the steps you take in your life today are going to enable the steps that you take tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Our students, for example, we're trying to teach them. They need to learn, but they need to learn how to learn. Someone asked me, when will I ever use calculus in my life? You may not, but it's sure good to know how to learn things. These poor geometry students, they're taking geometry, and there's a thing they take in there called geometric proofs. The Greeks came up with geometric proofs. You like those? I like them. They don't like them. And the Greeks came up with that as a thinking exercise to teach people how to think. It's important to know how to think. The steps you take in your life today are important. That's why you need to be careful to take the right steps and not take the wrong steps. Paul came through that prison situation. Would you agree with me? Paul knew what suffering was all about. And he knew how God could sustain you in times of suffering. And he also knew how to teach other people how to get through suffering. Because he had been there. Now, he walks into, in chapter 17, he takes those steps into Thessalonica. And look what happens. Now, I need to explain something to you. When he leaves Thessalonica, the Jews in that city, this is going to be later on, but when he left Thessalonica, if you read chapter 17, I'm not going to read it to you right now, but you take it home and read it. When he left Thessalonica, the Jews there were so ornery, that's an understatement, they were wicked, they were mean, they were angry, they were vindictive, they hated the gospel, they hated Paul, and they hated him so much that they followed him to the next city to harass him. Wouldn't you like to live in Thessalonica? Well, somebody had to. Wouldn't you like to be the church in Thessalonica and all the Jews hate your guts? That's the way, now, that's the way things were, but it was a good church. As we read about this church in 2 Thessalonians, you're going to see this is a great church. They were suffering. They were, we've already seen one statement about this. He says in verse 4 that their persecutions and tribulations, they're enduring. They're suffering. They're being persecuted and they're experiencing tribulation. And it was so bad that some of them thought, maybe the rapture has come and we missed it. And this is the tribulation. And Paul had written them already in 1 Thessalonians and told them about the return of Christ. And now 2 Thessalonians, he's going to tell them it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. But the biggest part of this letter is to teach them how to thrive in tribulation. And why can he do that? Because he's been there. Because he took those steps into Philippi and suffered there. I haven't got time to tell you all about the first missionary journey, but at one place, quite a bit farther to the east in Turkey, they stoned him, and they thought he was dead. And some Bible scholars think he may have been dead, laying on the ground, and they've stoned him until he's not moving. And all the people that were throwing the stones turn around and go home and say, well, we dealt with that. And Paul got up and finished that missionary journey and did two more. Are you ready to get up? Well, Pastor, somebody was really mean to me and they said a bad thing to me. I quit. I'm glad Paul wasn't that way. And if we listen to what he has to say to the Thessalonians, I think it'll help us because, and I won't do it today, but we're going to see in here some encouraging things for some people that are really suffering. Let me just show you a little bit while we have time. Back in 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter number 1. I just want to show you a couple of things. I thought I had that marked, but I didn't. There we go. Look at verse 3 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And the word meet there just means it's appropriate. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Paul is thankful for this church, not because they exist, but because of what's happening in that church. What should be happening in a church? Well, two things here we see real clearly. Their faith ought to be growing. How's your faith? Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. How's your faith? Is it growing? You know what makes things grow? When you feed them. Are you feeding your faith? Say, Pastor, I don't see why it's important to be in church. Because as much as any other time, if you read your Bible every day, praise the Lord, that's good. But as much as any other time when you come to church, you're going to feed on the Word of God and your faith is going to grow. And you're going to trust God more. And God's going to be able to do more with you, just like he could do more with Paul because of where he had been. And just like he was able to use Paul to encourage Thessalonica because Paul had suffered already. Your faith ought to be increasing. So much so, in this case, Paul says, we can see it. We can see the difference. You know, people can tell if you got faith or not. You can see on somebody's face whether they've got faith or not. It just pops into my mind. I'll just mention it. I like Brother Mendez because he's got faith. Because when Brother Mendez, when you're in the ministry, you get bad news every now and then. And I can see that little Cheshire cat grin that says, I know God's bigger than the bad news. And we just keep on serving. Wait a minute, Paul. You're in prison. You're in stocks. They've beaten you. I know. God's bigger than this prison. We're about to find out. And God's going to use that to save a jailer and his household. And, oh, by the way, a great church in Philippi started. Folks, your faith ought to be increasing. If it's not getting fed, it's not going to be increasing. And do you know what your faith does? The Bible says in Ephesians 6, your faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil's shooting at you. Not just regular arrows, arrows on fire. That really must hurt. But the Bible says our faith can stop that. Has the devil been hurting you? Has he been hitting you? Maybe your faith needs to increase. Paul says, I thank God that your faith is increasing. It groweth exceedingly in verse 3. And look at the second one. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The charity, Paul must have been from Texas. Did he say you all? Yeah. The charity of every one of y'all towards each other aboundeth. That's in the Texas Standard Version or something. I don't know. Charity's love. The Greek word's agape. You've heard that. People kind of abuse that. I hate to even mention it. Charity is a word for love, but it's not a love that just thinks something. It's a love that does something. You know, if you love somebody and you just sit there and think, well, I sure do love them, you ought to tell them. Amen? And you ought to show them. Make sense? For you husbands and wives, you know good and well. You don't just sit there and think, well, I sure do love my husband. I sure do love my wife. You tell them that you love them, and you show them that you love them. You do things for them. You want them to be happy, and you make decisions and take steps to make them happy. And that's the way we ought to be towards one another. I can tell you right now that if you don't love other church members, you're going to love yourself too much. I don't like what the church is doing because it interferes with my plans. Folks, we're supposed to love one another. Uniquely, it's more than a family love. It's a special kind of love. It ought to be, at least. In Thessalonica, Paul said, your faith groweth exceedingly. And he says, your charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. That's a good church. That's what God wants in Glendale, Arizona. Amen? So how am I going to get that way? Take some steps. Take some steps. Do the right thing. Well, that's going to inconvenience me, Pastor. That's not love when you think that way. I got to finish. One more and we're done. Look at verse 4. He says, we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You know what he's doing? He's going around to other churches saying, wow, those people in Thessalonica are amazing. Their faith is growing, and you can see it. Their love towards each other is growing. And I just got to tell you, you ought to be more like them. Wouldn't it be a blessing for churches to be able to say, you should be more like Vision Baptist Church? Wow, it's quiet. Why is it so quiet? Could we do that? We take the right steps, we could. It's a decision. It's something you're going to have to work on. We have choices. We can decide which steps to take. Those are these. He says, I glory. And what he's saying is, I'm bragging on you guys. What's wrong with being a church that God could brag on? Anything? Amen? Would that cost us something? It's going to cost us some selfishness. It's going to cost us some time, maybe some resources. But wouldn't it be worth it if God could say, that's a good church? Amen? Case closed. Number 3, and I'm done real quick. Excuse me. Look at verse 4 again. I'm sorry, not verse 4. Verse 6. He says, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, we're going to pick up there next week, but this is the third thing he's doing. The first thing he's doing is he's thankful. He thanks God for that church. The second thing he's doing is he's talking about them to other churches, using them as an example of what other churches ought to be. And the third thing he's doing is he's teaching them something. Now, if you have a good spirit, if you have a godly spirit, you should not be a vindictive person. Amen? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Somebody hurt me, someone says, I'm going to get even with them. You're foolish. The Bible says if you'll pray for them, it heaps coals of fire on their head. In other words, let God take care of it. He's better at taking care of it than you and I guarantee you. So Paul's telling them, I know you're being persecuted. I've been there, he says. I've been in your city and they chased me out. I've been in Philippi and they beat me and threw me in jail. I've been in, can't think of the name of the city now, and they stole me and left me for dead. I've been through all that. He says, I know you're being persecuted, but I want you to know something God knows too. And there'll be a day when God's going to make everything right. Now, in your heart, I hope your prayer is this, Lord, save those people so they haven't got to go to hell. Save those people that are persecuting and that are fighting and opposing. And what did Paul say? He said, my heart's desire is Israel would be saved. That was his heart. But folks, there's a day of judgment coming. And nothing is going to be left unjudged. It will either be judged in the people that did it, or it will be judged on the cross when Christ died for them. One of the two. That applies to you and I as well. Well, I'll just tie this all back to the beginning and I'm done. We're just at the perfect time to stop here. When you and I decide what steps to take and we let God lead us, he will take us through some times that will not be pleasant, but they will be profitable so that we can be ready later on to do things we couldn't otherwise have done. And when those days come, that's when you're going to see the victory. Look at all the victories we've seen today. When Paul met Timothy, when the Philippian jailer got saved, when Lydia got baptized, and when the church at Thessalonica got started, a great church got started in the midst of a bunch of persecution and tribulation, but that's what God can do. What can God do in your life? Well, Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed with fiery darts. The devil's shooting at me and he's got me down and I can't do anything. You need to get your faith increased. You say, Pastor, I just don't love people. I'm all about myself. That's going to cause a problem. Aren't you glad Paul took the steps he took? Somewhere along the way, I can't tell you where, somewhere along the way, Paul took a step into a place where he told folks about the gospel, who 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 told you about the gospel. Aren't you glad Paul took those steps? Aren't you glad he let God lead him? That's my prayer for my life. I hope it's your prayer for yours. Lord, lead me step by step. And then, if we'll let him do that, we'll see some victory as well. Say, I'm just going to do it my way. A lot of folks are going to suffer because of that, not just you. And it doesn't have to be that way, does it? We could let God lead us and we could see him use us to do things we couldn't even imagine if we'll let him. Let's all stand and pray.